Bibles this evening and turn to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter number 3. Well, tomorrow is Labor Day, amen. Typically a day that America has set aside to remember those that labor, amen. Here's a problem with America today. Nobody wants to labor, but everybody wants to collect a paycheck, amen. And the people that just want to collect a paycheck want to really get paid more than they truly labor for. And so we need to pray for America, pray for the people of America. America is never going to change if the people of America do not change as well. We'll be looking at a couple of verses here in Colossians chapter number 3. But tonight I want us to consider what I believe to be the most critical error regarding our witness and our testimony. You know, we live in a very specialized society, from auto mechanics. Some do general work. Some just do brakes and tires. Some just do transmissions, and we could go on and on. Even in our medical doctors, it seems like there's a specialty for any and every kind of disease that's imaginable to man. I grew up in a hometown where I lived and where I grew up, my doctor, he just did everything. He read x-rays. You went and got x-ray, they sent it back to him, and he read it, amen. Now somebody has to pay someone else to read an x-ray that your doctor could read. And I'm thankful for radiologists, because they sometimes can see things and know things that maybe a general doctor doesn't know. But we just live in a society today that is really set apart by this idea of having specialties. And so we find ourselves, even as Christians, placing different areas of our life into particular categories. What I mean by that is we have our work category, it's over here. We have our family category, that's over here. We have our spiritual life and the church here in this category. We have the house category, and we have the car category. We categorize everything that we have in different compartments inside of our life. And so as we think about that, that might sound good because we have all the boxes, right? And we can look at the work box, the church box, the car box, the family box, the to-do box. And we might think, oh, that's pretty good. It's all nice and neat. And you think of your desktop on your computer. I don't know about you, but I surely like we use a Mac, and they have just little folders that you can put, and it slides them right into neat little rows. And so I have, you know, AM sermons, PM sermons, sermons that I want to preach in the future, series, and they're all nice and neat. And I can kind of categorize my work life, spiritual life, in those things. But that sounds good, and it looks neat, and looks orderly on my computer screen, and no doubt on yours as well. But really, that's not the way God intended for us to live our lives like that. God never intended for us to categorize. Our work is here, our family's here, and our friendships are here, and our car here, and our house here. As a matter of fact, God wants to be involved in every area of our lives. That's the way God intended. I think that's the way we ought to live our lives. So tonight I want us to consider our testimony on the job. And the scriptural principle I found is in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 23. So let's stand this evening as we give respect to the reading of God's word in Colossians 3 and verse number 23. Then we'll pray as we think on this thought of your testimony on the job. So let's begin reading in verse number 18. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as it is fit in the Lord. How many would say, amen, preacher? Just stop right here for just a little bit and preach for a little while, man. How many men are brave enough to do that? Verse 19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. How many wives would say, amen, pastor? Preach on this little verse right here for a while. I surely could use that. And then children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So now moms and dads could say, amen, preacher, preach to my children for just a little bit that they might learn that they are to obey me. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Let's get down to our text verse in verse 23. And notice what it says. Read along with me out loud together as we look at this verse. And the Bible says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Let's read it one more time, and then we'll pray. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can stand behind this pulpit one more time this Lord's Day and bring this message that you have laid on my heart, your testimony on the job. So, Father, I pray that every one of us, Father, that go out of the home, Father, and have a job, Father, I pray that our testimony would be one that's pleasing to you. But then, Father, even for those that do not go out of their home, Father, for a job, but they work in the home, Father, both moms and dads, Lord, I pray even that they would have a blessed testimony amongst those people that come into their house. So, Father, I pray that you'll bless very unusually this evening, Father. Help us, Father, to come away from this message, Father, understanding that our testimony on the job is very important, and there's some things we can do to uphold the highness of the Lord Jesus Christ in and through our work and our job. So, Lord, we love you, we thank you, we give you praise and honor and glory for the work that you're going to do this very evening and in the days to come in our hearts and life and even at our place of employment. So we pray and ask these things in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. This word work is described as a physical or mental effort or activity. Just have to stop here for a moment and chuckle because when I get home from working at the church in the afternoons and Diana comes home about 5:30 and I said, "How was your day?" She said, I'm exhausted. I'm just exhausted. I said, "Yeah, I know what you mean." She said, "All you do is sit on your ruckus all day and look at a computer screen. How can you be tired?" And I said, "Listen, it's the emotional tired. Spiritually, I'm wore out." She says, "Yeah, but I'm physically wore out. I think that counts for a little more." I don't know about that. Sometimes, just the other day, when I was up in Pennsylvania, my brother drove up the second day I was there and met us there, began to help us as we cleaned out my mom's house. And he said, "Man, I'm really tired." I said, "You just got here." He said, "Driving is hard work. It just wears you out." He said, "I'd rather work all day at my job than drive 5 hours to get up here." And to that I say, amen, glory, hallelujah. I know exactly what you're speaking about. So whether it's a physical or a mental effort or activity directed toward the production or the accomplishment of something, listen, it makes no difference whether it's physical or whether it's mental. Here's what I'm trying to tell you this evening is we are called to work for the Lord. And we'll give an accounting of our work when we stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 13 through 15, the Bible says, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." That's the goal for you and I. "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." And after the last part of verse number 15 is where sometimes we as Christians we're speaking about someone. They said, "Do you think they're saved?" And we say, "Well, if they're saved, they're saved, so as by fire," which means this: they probably had trusted Christ, they made a profession of faith, and far as we know that they have trusted in Christ, but really there's no works that follow. So we can get into this whole argument of whether they truly are saved, because the saved man works, but you don't have to work to be saved. I understand that. But still, we get this thought in our mind, "Yet saved, so as by fire." And I guess when it comes down to it, thank God that they got saved. There's some of my relatives that I say, "Thank God that they got saved. They're not on fire for the Lord. They're not serving God." And of course, it grieves my heart, and I pray for them. I want them to be able to have some reward at the judgment seat of Christ. I want them to have some crowns to be able to cast back at the Savior's feet for the works that they have done down here for Him. And that may or may not be the case, but thank God that they're saved. Amen. And we're living in the last days, and my friend, it's most important that we get them in, that they receive Christ as their Savior. And I know you understand what I mean when I say we get them in, that we reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because when it comes to the end of the time and the end of judgment, that's what's going to matter, amen. determine whether they go to heaven or whether they go to hell. And as believers, sometimes we forget that we work in a Christian, oftentimes works 40, 50, some 60, some 70 hours a week at their place of employment. But at the most, we're here 4 to 5 hours a week here at the church. So if there ever was a place where we ought to act like we're a Christian, it ought to be the place where we spend the most time, and that is in our place of employment. And our opportunity to produce and accomplish many things for the Lord is multiplied over and over again when we consider just the amount of time that we spend on our jobs. And I want to draw attention to some thoughts concerning our testimony on the job this evening, and then we'll go to the house. Notice, first of all, what is the most important thing a Christian can do on a job? As I thought about that, what is the most important thing a Christian can do on the job? Let me give you some wrong answers. Number one is pray. And even though prayer is essential, even though I pray on the job, even though you pray on the job, it's not the most spiritual thing that we can do while we are working. You say, well, I thought we're to pray without ceasing. I thought we're to pray everywhere. And yes, we are doing that. But listen, that's not the most spiritual thing a Christian can do on the job. I encourage you to pray. Pray for your boss. Pray for your corporation. Pray for those that you work with. I can remember when Diana worked for a dental company, Chambersburg Dental, and one of the dentists was getting married, and he asked me if I would offer a prayer at their wedding, and I said, surely I'd love to do that. And he said, but listen, I don't want you to pray for Chambersburg Dental Association in your prayer at my wedding, because my policy was whenever I went to any dentist function, I would pray for the corporation. I'd pray for the people there. I'd pray for the corporation. I'm thankful for the doctors that ran that corporation, because it was important to me. And they provided a living for my wife, and why would I not pray for them to do good in order that my wife could do good? So he said, he called me Reverend Carroll. He said, Reverend Carroll, he said, please don't pray for Chambersburg Dental. I guess that really bothered him at his wedding. I might pay for Chambersburg Dental. And I said, no, listen, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for your dear wife. I'm going to pray for your life and your marriage. I'm not going to pray for Chambersburg Dental Association. But listen, it's important that we pray, but it's not the most spiritual thing that we can do. So I know what you're thinking. Okay, if we're not going to pray, then this is what we have to do if we want to be spiritual Christian on the job. Number two, the wrong answer would be this. You say, Pastor, we need to read our Bibles. To that I would say simply this. Certainly we need to read our Bible. We need to read our Bible before we go on the clock, at lunch when you're off the clock. If you're sitting around after work, you need to read your Bible. You need to tell people, more importantly than reading your Bible there at the workplace, tell them what you read in your morning devotions. Tell them what you read in your afternoon lunch break. Tell them that memory verse that you've been working on. Tell them about the message the pastor preached or the Sunday school teacher taught during last Sunday's service here at Sharon Baptist Church. And so certainly it is important that we read our Bible, but hold on, it's not the most spiritual thing that you and I should do in our jobs. So you say, okay, I got it. It's not praying. It's not reading our Bible. I know where you're getting at. I got it now, Pastor. I got your clock. Here it is. And what we really need to do is witnessing. I'm telling you this, witnessing is not the most spiritual thing that you ought to do at work. Listen, your coworkers and my coworkers, well, I hope not, but it's between them and the Lord, need to hear the gospel, understand the Bible truth about God's salvation. Listen, I'm not saying never witness to them. I'm simply saying this. It's not the most spiritual thing that we need to do in our work time. We ought to witness to them, yes, but it's not the most spiritual thing. So we have the wrong answer of what we could do to be the most spiritual thing at work. But let me give you the right answer. It's found here in Colossians 3, in verse 23, our text verse. And the Bible says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men. So you say, well, Pastor, the most spiritual thing is not reading, it's not praying, it's not witnessing. What is it? Here it is in Colossians 3 and verse 23. The most spiritual thing that you and I can do at our place of employment, get this, write it down because it will blow your mind. Do a good job. Do a good job. That is the most spiritual thing that we can do on our job. Pretty simple, isn't it? Do a good job. Notice it says, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Maybe it's so simple that most people really don't even consider it. They don't consider doing a good job as doing it for the Lord, as being something spiritual that they do at work. We are to do our work, notice what it says, as unto the Lord. Can you see Jesus Christ as a supervisor on your job? Can you see Jesus Christ as your boss? I think that you should. He's watching us, isn't he? As a matter of fact, God is omnipresent, he's omniscient. By that I mean this, not only God sees our action, but get this, he knows the attitude of our heart as we do those actions. You know, oftentimes we do things, but we don't do them with the right heart. We don't do them with the right attitude. I call it the heartitude, just a word that I just made up a long time ago. We don't do it with the right heartitude. And listen, if you do that, listen, there'll be no rewards. Your reward in heaven for that work is going to be burned up as wood, hay, or stubble. So it's not always just the act. It's the attitude that we do that act by that helps make us where we need to be. So we have the right answer. We have the wrong answer. But then notice, thirdly, notice the philosophy of the world. You know, we know that we're not to be forced into this world mold. We're to be separate from the world. We're to be different from the world. But we are to be conformed to the image of Christ, according to Romans 12 and verse number 2. So unfortunately, a majority of Christians today really think about their jobs the same way that the lost people think about their jobs. And our attitude affects the way that we do our jobs. Mark Twain said this, "I don't like work. Even when someone else does work." That's a person who doesn't like work, amen. I don't mind work as long as someone else is doing it, amen. That's our attitude today. And too many people today think that we're doing our employees a favor just by showing up. And in reality, we don't tell them this, they really are doing them a favor. And today, hiring managers will hire people that they wouldn't have hired 4 or 5 years ago just to fill a slot, just to get them there. But when you do that, you know it's just going to be problems in your workplace. And many of you experience that today, that they don't pick the cream of the crop. They just pick any crop that shows up. And thank God our day school is not that way. And we're having trouble, you know, retaining and bringing on new talent here at Sharon Baptist Day School. We're not going to take anybody. If I told Sarah, if we have to slow down the growth of our day school, if we have to shrink our class sizes down and disenroll people, we'll do that rather than just hire somebody just to fill a spot. We're not going to do that. We're not going to run our Sharon Baptist Day School as a business would run it and just bring anybody in just to fill a slot. You may be thinking, preacher, you may be thinking that this is an option, that it's an option that we can do without. And listen, you don't have to. I know what you're thinking. You're saying, well, preacher, you don't work where I work. You're right. I don't work where you work. That is true, but you don't have to work there either. And if you choose to do so, the Bible principle still applies as unto the Lord. If you don't like that place, listen, hit the road, find someone else. Anybody, I'm telling you, anybody looking for a job, paying probably more than what you're worth, would hire you for a job. It's no doubt the jobs are so prevalent right now. But if you're going to stay where you're at, do it as unto the Lord. Irregardless of your boss, irregardless of how they treat you, if you're going to stay, you work as unto the Lord. And then notice, fourthly, the right attitude would take you farther than a high attitude. The right attitude would take you farther than a high attitude. And I'm trying to tell you this. It's a simple, really, thing. God is more interested in you having your heart right than how smart you are. God is more interested in you having your heart right with Him and then be kosher with those that you work with than how smart you are. And by the way, if your heart right, is right with God, He'll give you wisdom. In Psalm 111, verse 10, the Bible says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding has all they that do His commandments. His praises endureth forever." Then in the wonderful book of Proverbs that we just really started studying on Wednesday evenings, says this in chapter 2, beginning part of verse number 7, "He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous." And so understand this, that you can have wisdom. You can have wisdom to stay. You can have wisdom to go. James tells us, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will give it liberally. Praise God, ask Him for that wisdom. I once met a man while I was stationed at the United States Air Force at RAF Upper Hayford who introduced himself to me. And this is what he said, "I'm a full-time missionary, but the United States Air Force pays my salary, amen." And that's what you ought to say to the new employees, that come to your work. "I'm a full-time missionary for the Lord Jesus Christ, but Helmet pays my salary. I'm a full-time missionary for the Lord Jesus Christ, but the shipyard pays my salary, amen. I'm a full-time missionary for the Lord Jesus Christ, but the United States government most gladly pays my salary in order for me to do that, amen." What a good attitude to have, and you and I ought to have that kind of attitude. Somebody asked you this question this evening, what is your testimony at work? Just think about it for a minute. Let it mull it over in your mind and think on this thought. What is my testimony at work? What kind of testimony do you have among your coworkers? What kind of testimony do you have among your supervisors? And let me just help you for a moment. Your testimony between your coworkers and your supervisors ought to be the same. There's a lot of people who have a different testimony when the supervisors are around or when they think they're listening than they do with the average coworker that works right beside them. Our testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be exactly the same for our supervisors, our bosses, and those that even work around us. And what comes to your mind when others think about you and they evaluate your work ethics? What do they think? Does the person work beside you think you're a slacker? Do they think they always have to continually do your job just so they can get their job done? Or do they say to themselves, "I don't really know this person very well over here, but I do know this, they proclaim Christ as their Savior, and they're always trying to witness to me about getting saved, but they do a good job, and they go above and beyond all that's expected or imagined of them by the bosses, the supervisors, and even those that work beside them." So the question then is simply this, how do you honestly evaluate your work ethic? Again, is it as the Bible says, as unto the Lord? I like to believe that it is. Well, not only do we see the most spiritual thing a Christian can do at work is literally work, amen. And notice quickly number two, and then we'll be done this evening. Notice some practical ways to achieve a better testimony at work. What if, just what if, and I hope it's not the case, what if your testimony at work is not what it ought to be? What can I do? Well, we need to repent of that. Ask God to forgive us. Then you need to go to your coworkers and your boss and say, "You know, I haven't really been the best kind of worker, but I'm challenged by that. I'm going to be a better worker." I encourage you to do that. But practically, what can we do? Number one, if you're writing it down, we can serve heartily. Serve heartily. In other words, put your heart into your work. That word heartily is a primary preposition denoting the origin from the soul. So when we say do it heartily, that means we do it with all our heart, all our mind, and all our soul. And when our heart is in our work, it becomes a time of joy and satisfaction. You know, a lot of the other times I went up to get my mom's house organized and get some stuff boxed up, my heart wasn't really into it. It wasn't much joy, wasn't much satisfaction. But this past couple of days when I was up there with my brother and my sister, my heart was in it. The goal was set, and we're working towards getting the house put on the market. And listen, there was joy and there was satisfaction in work. And I can promise you this, no matter what the circumstances are at your work, if you work heartily as unto the Lord, there'll be joy and there'll be satisfaction. There is satisfaction, Proverbs tells us, and there is joy in work, amen, if we do it as unto the Lord, heartily, or having the origin from our soul. And when our heart is in our work, it can be a time of great joy. Work can even be a time of refreshing. Notice what it says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. So literally it means that whatsoever you do, work at it. I mean, stay by the stuff. Finish the job that you've been tasked with. I'm not saying that if you need help, don't go and ask help. Get the help that you need, but listen, show the initiative. Just don't stop and go do another job, and the boss comes by and says, well, I thought I asked you to do this. Well, I couldn't figure it out, so I went and do this other job. No, get some help, ask permission, figure it out, and whatsoever you do, you work at it. You know, we're commanded in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 7, the Bible says this, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. So again, as you do your work for your earthly boss and your earthly supervisor, understand this, that do it as unto the Lord, that is unto men. So listen, you can do anything for the Lord and really be excited about it, be happy about it. And it even gives us this admonition, and not to men. Sometimes when you just do work for men, it's just work. It's drudgery. You hate it. You can't wait till it gets done. You can't wait to get off. You know, even when you're volunteering to help someone, sometimes our heart's not in it. Our head's in it. We want to be a help and a blessing to them, but our heart's not in it. And so we need to understand this, that with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not unto men. That word goodwill translates from a Greek word, good intentions. So we ought to really have good intentions in doing service. Do it as unto the Lord and not really for man. But then if you were to take the time to look back at verse number 6 of Ephesians 6 and verse number 7, the Bible says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So again, we have this idea as that we are working for the Lord and not for men. You see, when we work for men, we want to do our very best. And why do we want to do our very best? Because we want them to look at us and say, boy, there's a good worker. Boy, that David right there, he's a tremendous worker. And boy, we had to think about him, promotion time and raises. He's a really good man. But understand this, when we serve men, it should be as if we are serving the Lord. And so as we serve Jesus Christ, as we work with our bosses and our supervisors, listen, we can do it with a good heart. And that means serving from our heart to please Christ and not to please man. But understand this, as we please Christ, your boss, your supervisors, or men, as the Bible said, will be pleased. Let me help you for a moment. As we seek to serve with all of our heart unto God, it will also please the Lord. As we please our bosses, God will be pleased as well. Warren Wiersbe wrote of this passage, he said this, the positive side of obedience is that servants, wives, and children were to obey to please God, not just to avoid punishment and chastisement. You see, that's why we work heartily and we work from our heart. It's because we want to please the Lord and just not please men. Well, number one, if you want to be a good worker, you're going to serve heartily. But then number two, you're going to have to be honest. As an employee of someone, our goal ought to be our employee's best worker. That's what our goal ought to be. Our goal as a Christian, as a worker, being employed, is that we ought to have the employer's best interest in mind. We ought to be the best worker that he ever has seen. Certainly, as believers, we should never be involved in dishonest workplace practices, including this, stealing time. I think that a lot of time gets stolen and gets wasted by employees today. Think about this. An employee who steals 15 minutes a day, just 15 minutes. You know what? And if an employee just spends 15 minutes on their phone today, most employers would say, thank God that's all it is. Most of the time, it's a lot worse than that. But if an employee steals 15 minutes a day, just say they only work part-time 4 days a week, and that's about an hour a week, and say they make $20 an hour, that might be a little bit high, but pretty soon it's not going to be. For 52 weeks, you know how much money they've stolen from their boss? $1,400 a year they have stolen. And believe me, today, from the testimony of people that I know that work out in the secular world, stealing 15 minutes a day is on the very, very, very low end. Employees today, if they can get away with it, just put their phone where they don't think their boss can see it, and they watch videos, and they, you know, do social media all day long, stealing hours and hours and hours, where their attention is not upon their equipment or upon their people or anything else. So how do we steal beside the time clock? Well, I think we take extra long breaks. You know, if your boss allows you a 15-minute quick break on the clock, you know, we stay 16 minutes, 17 minutes, 18 minutes. Listen, we're stealing from. We take longer lunch breaks. If you're salary and you normally have an hour for lunch, and that's the rule, and you take an hour and a half because you want to go get something really good, then you forgot the dry cleaning. Oh, by the way, I got to go to the bank and get some money out because we're going away this weekend, and you get back in an hour and 45. Guess what? You stole it from them. How about this? Stealing parts or supplies from your employer. Amen. Boy, I can think of all the times in the Air Force when working on aircraft, they have what they call bench stock. And basically what it is, if you need a screw, you look on this big board and you tell them one number 121 and tell them how many you need, and they give you that many screws. But here's the thing that happens a lot of times is they never have what you need. So you have to go around trying to find some. But a smart crew chief would do this. If you need 10, you ask for 15. Put the other 5 in your pocket and put it in your locker. So the next time you need that screw, you know exactly where to go. You go to your locker and get it. And if you've been in the Air Force, you exactly know what I'm talking about. There's guys, we call it scrounge, and it's just stuff you scrounge up and just see it laying there. Whose is this? I don't know what it is, but, I needed one of these last week. We couldn't get one. You put it in your locker. And I knew guys, when they checked out, had suitcases full of scrounge that they had gotten and saved, and they keep it in their locker. But then some take it a little bit farther, because every once in a while they do locker checks and they find that scrounge. They know everybody does it, but they just go, oh, no, take it back to the bench stock. And those guys get mad at you because they got to sort through 1,000, 2,000 pieces to put it back where it needs to be. Most of the time what they would do is they put it down, and 2 days later you go by, hey, where's my bench? Where's my scrounge? Okay, here it is, and put it back in your locker. Just kind of watch one hand and watch the other. I'm not saying it's right, but that's the way it happens. But where it goes wrong is when you say, well, I'm working on my car and I need a nut. Oh, yeah, that nut, I saw it on the bench stock. You go get just one nut. You say, it's only one nut. It's only 25 cents. But if everybody in the Air Force would steal one nut, you know how much money that would be? Lots of money, lots of money. Pencils and pens and papers and Post-its. And you can just name it. Think about your workplace. People that take stuff out of your workplace. Listen, it's wrong to steal parts and take supplies. Our testimony before our coworkers should be one of the most valuable things that we have. So I'm not telling you to do this. I'm not saying to steal things, but don't get caught. I'm saying just don't steal things. Don't steal time. Don't steal things. When others are doing it, you can say, hey, I don't think we should be doing this. That's not right. You know. Well, we serve heartily. We be honest. And number three, we keep our focus clear. Keep your focus clear. You know, our employer that we work for, or our company, exists for one reason. You say, to give me a paycheck. No, they do not exist to give you a paycheck. They exist for one reason and one reason only, and that is to make a profit. So we should never lose sight of that. It's easy to focus on all the benefits that they give us, and perhaps you get a paid holiday tomorrow, and maybe they give you a Christmas bonus. It's easy for us to lose sight of all that, and as we look at our paychecks that come in bi-weekly or weekly or monthly, however you get paid. But that's not why the company's there. The company is there to make a profit. So our focus should be this, on being the very best employee possible to maximize the profit of our company, so that as I do that, I can please the Lord as I work for the employee. We need to serve heartily, be honest, keep our focus clear, And then fourthly, we need to remember that God is sovereign. Remember that God is sovereign. You know, your job or your position where you're at right now is the place that God has placed you. I'm reminded of Queen Esther, where the Bible said in Esther chapter 4 in verse 14, when she's speaking to her uncle Mordecai, he says, "Who knoweth whether thou art coming to the kingdom for such a time as this?" And who knows why God has placed you there? Who knows why God has allowed you to be in that place of employment for such a time as this? And there'll be a time when you stand out and shine for the Lord Jesus Christ on a regular basis that some employee, some boss will come to you and say, "Listen, I'm having troubles in my life. I'm having problems in my life." And it seems like that you just keep going and nothing really bothers you. And listen, share with me how you could be that way, and I am not that way. I wonder how many people have rejected Jesus Christ because some Christian coworker failed to take advantage of their God-given opportunities to be a faithful witness on the job but off the clock. Amen. I bet there's thousands upon millions died and gone to hell. I can think of my early days after I got saved before I really understood God's mandate and his desire for us to win the world to himself. How many people I just let slip by me day in and day out and probably died and go to hell. I pray now in my prayer on a regular basis that those people I failed to witness to, that somehow someone else gave them another opportunity. I already asked God to forgive me for that sin, and it's put behind me, but I can still pray that God, if they haven't gotten saved, that God might send someone their way. Well, I think we ought to remember that God is sovereign. He has you exactly where you are, and you stay there until what time God tells you to leave. I think too many times today we're in such a hurry to look for a better job, maybe to get a nickel more an hour, or maybe get one more paid holiday when we leave where we're at. And God says, "You know what? Is that nickel really worth it? Is that paid holiday, is it worth it? Is that one more sick day really worth what you're living through now?" Stay where you're at until clearly God tells you it's time to leave. Then I think, fifthly, we need to look for ways to be more efficient. Look for ways to be more efficient. Robert Frost said this: "The world is filled with willing people, some willing to work, the rest willing to let them." And it seems like people I speak with lately, a lot of people find themselves in the boat that the rest are willing to let you work while they do not work. I think this type of attitude will not help our testimony on the job. And we need to be willing to work. If you're always looking for a way out of work or someone else to get the job done, guess what? That's going to hurt the cause of Christ. That's going to hurt your testimony on the job. In fact, we need to be a willing volunteer. Not volunteer to get good points with the boss, but being a willing volunteer because we're working for the Lord in all reality. In Matthew 5, in verse number 41, the Lord said this: "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." So the Lord said, you know what? It's not just good enough just to do your job, but go above and beyond. Go the extra mile. And we should be ready to accept those difficult tasks and those demanding assignments without grumbling and complaining or being a martyr. Oftentimes we'll say, "All right, if no one else do it, I guess I'll just do this job." And we make ourselves a martyr, and that's not pleasing to the Lord. We're to do our work as pleasing unto the Lord. So we should serve heartily. We should be honest. We should keep our focus clear. Remember that God is sovereign and look for ways to be more efficient. But then notice, lastly, we need to avoid the circle of criticism and gossip. Avoid the circle of criticism and gossip. Listen, they're everywhere. You say, "Well, would you listening in on my conversations at work?" No, I just worked in outside places. Listen, I work inside a local New Testament church, and sometimes even inside a local New Testament church, there's criticism and there's gossip. So I know that it's outside. Some people are really just natural complainers. If they got a $5 an hour raise, then what they would say? They wouldn't tell their boss thank you. They'd say, "We should have gave it to us 6 months ago." They're not thankful for what God has done for them, and they're were complainers, and they seemed to bicker, and they seemed to complain about everything and anything. They'd live to cause trouble and complain. Others feel that they have a right to criticize and feel they have a right to gossip about the leadership. If I work for him, he does something stupid or makes bad decisions, I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to gossip about it. I'm going to criticize him because I think I know better than my boss. And these criticisms can become very vicious and very vindictive. If you're not careful, you'll find out that as you criticize other people, guess what? You reap what you sow. People are going to be vicious and vindictive to yourself as well. And so we almost certainly hinder our testimony for the Lord. Not even if you say, well, I don't criticize anybody, and I'm not vicious or vindictive, but if you listen to other people, you put yourself in the same category as those that speak the words themselves. And so we must constantly be on alert for Satan's trap and not get involved in the circle of criticism and gossip. I understand. I've been there and done that. It's very easy to do. Before you even know it, you find yourself in the middle of, y'all say, stop. Stop. I don't particularly like this boss either, but I pray for them. I don't want to hear anything more bad about him because it affects my attitude towards him. And then when your attitude is affected, guess what? If you're not careful, the flesh will well up, and then your actions will be reflected by it as well. So as we close tonight, so much of our lives that we spend is on the job. Either going to the job, coming from the job, being on the job. Let's not squander those hours away. And we need to take every opportunity that God gives us and use it to the fullest. I'm reminded of Colossians 4 and verse 5 where the Bible says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And then in Ephesians 5 verses 16 and 17, the Bible says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, what can we do to achieve a better testimony on our job? Number one, serve heartily. Number two, be honest. Number three, keep your focus clear. Number four, remember that God is sovereign. He has you there for such a time as this. Look for more ways to be efficient. Remember that the corporation is only there to make profit. You ought to be a help to them, help them be more efficient. Then lastly, avoid the circle of criticism and gossip that no doubt shows up at every place of employment. And I trust and pray that as you return back to work, whether that be tomorrow, whether that be Tuesday after a day of holiday, that you'll be determined to have a better testimony on the job. You say, well, why is that important? Because people can't see Christ, they can't see God, and surely they can't see the Holy Spirit. But understand this, they look at you and believe you're a reflection of them. And so the better your testimony is, the more opportunity you will have to be an opportunity to be a witness to those lost souls at your place of employment. So would you covenant this evening, come to the altar, bow down your heart and your knee, and covenant with God that you're going to have a better testimony on your job. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank